Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
This podcast is brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey. Native Grape Odyssey is an educational project financed by the European Union to promote European wine in Canada, Japan, and Russia. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Monty Ward, and my guest today is Sarah Heller. Sarah's a master of wine, the youngest master of wine
in Asia.
You were in the world, weren't you?
I was in the world for a brief moment.
Master of wine, you were what, 4.5? 6?
Yeah, no, 7. Let's not exaggerate.
Okay.
No, I was 29.
Okay, that's not like a burden to carry. Are you kind of glad you've shrugged that one off, or...?
I kind of wish we hadn't put it out in the press, because now I'm constantly having to correct people, but it's fine.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My guest today is Sarah Heller, who was once the world's youngest master of wine, and now is a nobody.
And now is just completely irrelevant.
Speaking work has dried up.
Yeah.
And you're basically reduced to come on this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only thing that would take me.
Could relaunch your career, or just sink it for good.
Yeah, perhaps.
Turning point.
Yeah, well, it depends how long we talk about this.
Yeah, well, if we carry on talking about this, we'll both get fired. Okay, so just give me a little about where are you from and your family background.
Yeah, a little bit complicated for me, but I was born in Hong Kong, but my mother is Korean by birth, but naturalized as a U.S. citizen when she moved there when she was 10. And my dad is ethnically half German and half Chinese, but he was born and grew up in the U.S., moved to Hong Kong in 84, thinking they would be there for 2 years, and they're still there. So,
how did they meet?
At law school, they're lawyers. Nothing really exotic or strange there.
Is that where your kind of slight geekiness comes from? Or?
I think so. Yeah, the pedantry and all of it.
No, you're not like that at all. So how did you get into wine? What was your first experience in wine?
Yeah, I mean, it was through food. Like many Hong Kong kids, didn't learn to cook growing up.
Why is that?
We have help at home. So I actually grew up, pasta was my favorite food growing up, but later learned to cook when I was at university.
Toast.
Yeah, very skilled with a toaster.
Pizza.
Spaghetti, I mean, you know, complicated things like that. Of course, was completely taken with it and was like, wow, this is the coolest thing ever. Of course, Top Chef was like very trendy at the time. And so
it was a TV show, I guess, wasn't it?
Yes, okay. Yes. And I decided I was going to be a chef. So I was taking courses at the French Culinary Institute on the weekend, you know, completely disregarding the fact that I think on my first day, I cut myself 5 times. And my partner, who's an Israeli guy who I think had spent longer than normal in the army and was just absolutely disgusted with me. And then by like our 40 hours after we'd been through this course together, he actually asked me out on a date. I didn't take him up on it. But so I like to think I improved.
So you had like hands bleeding and...
Yeah, you know, like horrible blue Band-Aids and the gloves just like filling up with blood. It's really impressive.
So is he your husband, this guy?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
oh,
no,
I thought that was
no,
going to
no,
lead
no.
somewhere.
No. Sorry, yes.
That's a no, then.
No, that's a no.
Okay.
That's a firm no. But from there, I had thought that I would get into French cuisine, right, being the French Culinary Institute. Was planning on taking half a year off from university to go take the 6-month course at the French Culinary Institute. But my parents were not so into that because they were already paying $50,000 a year for me to go to Yale. And
slip that one in.
And they were, not so.
So you got into Yale, that's like, you know, that's just a little minor detail.
Oh, well, it's not particularly relevant to the wine story because always sort of a lingering source of envy with all the sort of Oxbridge people who have their competitive wine teams. Yale is not a great place to learn about wine.
Why not?
Because you're not supposed to drink until you're 21.
Ah.
And of course I didn't. Convincing. Like all good Hong Kong kids, I had a way around the more challenging aspects of alcohol acquisition.
So what were you drinking then that you weren't supposed to be? It wasn't like liquor or spirits, it was wine?
Yeah, well, I stayed well away from the sort of punch you would find at parties because I didn't want to end up in hospital. So my theory was that in life one should always have a case of champagne in the fridge.
As you do.
And it made me extremely popular among my housemates.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you know, bad day, open a bottle of champagne. Good day, open a bottle of champagne. Great. Yeah, no, I was... I was sort of starting to dabble in wine, but I wasn't taking it that seriously. Then, so kind of deciding what I was going to do instead of culinary school after my parents balked at the, I think, $38,000 that it costs to do the six-month course.
And the champagne bill.
The champagne bill, yeah. It's substantial. And they were like, why don't you go work in a restaurant? Which I think was probably one of their wiser suggestions ever. Nowhere in France would take me. And they were like, she is 20 years old or whatever I was, 19, 20, something. And, you know, had no experience. Meanwhile, Italian restaurants, I managed to do an internship in Hong Kong. And then they were like, why don't you just go to Italy? It's like, but I don't have a visa. So,
don't even.
No. No, just absolutely tell not.
Show up.
Indeed.
So where did you end up?
In Turin, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, very nice. My parents helpfully sort of helped me try and locate some potential restaurants. My mother, I think, because through the Korean network, managed to find a restaurant in Rome that was owned by a Korean woman. And she sent the message to my mother and was like, she is welcome to come, but she must know that there will be no tourism, there will be no wine tasting, it's all going to be work, she's not going to have any holidays. And then my dad helped me find this restaurant in Turin. And this message from the chef was like, we will go every weekend to the wineries in Piemonte and in Tuscany, and it will be beautiful. And I was like, yes, that's where I'm going.
And did they do that when you were there?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Do they have, like, friends, winemaker friends then, the chefs?
Yeah.
So, like, their suppliers as well, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So where did you go there? What was the region that inspired you most that you visited on those little free weekends?
Barbaresco, actually.
Right. So not too far away then?
No, not too far away. Although, actually, the very first wine that I tasted with them was Rouquet.
Right.
Which I've, like, never really gotten over.
My dad
is obsessed with it, red.
And rough red flavor profile?
So it's an aromatic red. So it's like, it's got kind of a rose, really floral aromatic profile. And then sort of red berry, dense.
Red jelly kind of flavors.
Yeah, it's very charming. I think.
And brought back from extension by the local priest.
Yes, as so many great varieties around Italy. Nearly disappearing and then being saved by one dedicated person.
Okay, so that was a little discovery. So what was the next step after the Turin, Piemonte, Rouquet, Nebbiolo fest and cooking? What was the next step?
Yeah, so actually right before I left for Turin, I happened to be at a party in New York and met this woman who had a wine import business in New York, Domaine Select, and their head office in Europe was in Turin. So then when Vinitaly came around, they were like, oh, well, let's meet up at Vinitaly, and we'll introduce you to some of our suppliers and kind of show you around. And my chef was going to take me, but at the last minute, he got sick, so he sent me by myself to Vinitaly to represent the restaurant, which was hilarious. But yeah, I...
Which year was that then?
Oh, 2009?
Still that long ago.
2009,
So were you kind of getting more and more familiar with the way that Italians do things and getting used to that.
Yeah, so my Italian
was... quite a challenge initially.
Indeed. So my Italian was reasonably developed at that point, which was always fun to surprise people because literally nobody expects it, and you can frighten people when you've been eavesdropping on them for a while. But the really unfortunate one, though, that my chef instilled in me was this phrase, real men don't spit, that I just sort of parroted endlessly to the producers. Yeah.
Mm.
As I went to visit them at Vinitaly, so I got more drunk than I've ever been in my entire life, at five. I've had to be decanted into a taxi and just like, I don't remember where I was staying, but that was rough.
I can't imagine you doing that. I honestly can't imagine you doing that.
Yeah.
Top student.
Yeah, no, very, very
is that the kind of
Jekyll and Hyde type setup, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it is, yeah.
Promise. Yeah, as anybody who was with me in San Francisco at the MW seminar will know.
So you're a bit of a wild child underneath then?
Have my moments, yeah.
But not anymore, you're a mum.
No, completely responsible now. Yeah.
Yeah,
mother of one and a tiny bit.
In progress then?
Yes, in progress.
Okay, so after Turin, Rouquet, Barbaresco, next step.
Right, so this import company, when I got back to college, I started working or interning 2 days a week at Domaine Select while I was still finishing up because I had another year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, graduated, thought I was going to stay in New York and continue working for them, but then they sent me to a couple of wineries over the summer. The first one was in Provence, Henri Milan.
And just Bandol, isn't it?
No, it's just Provence. It's okay. It's not specific. They actually often make wine outside the AOC system.
Okay, and
Venus La Universale in Monsant.
And oh, that came back. Okay.
Somewhere in Germany. The reason
it's
why I don't
very
remember.
Memorable this day.
Well, all will become clear. The reason why I don't remember is while I was in Provence, I fell into a concrete tank, fractured my spine, and had to go home.
You hadn't been out on the lash the night before?
No, I truly had not. I was up in the cellars, hosing everything off, and I had discovered a clump of spiders that I vindictively wanted to remove from a corner because they had been crawling all over me while I was up
revenge.
There. And they did, yeah, because I stepped backwards into a manhole, I landed in the tank, fractured a vertebra, hospital for a week, in a corset for 4 months, physiotherapy for 10, but totally fine now. So.
Well, I've got a fractured vertebra.
Yeah?
Yeah, but not from falling through in a tank, car crash. Anyway, I wasn't driving. Okay, so next step. So you're getting a lot of European experience while still maintaining your sort of, you're kind of secret kind of party person.
Yeah.
You are,
yes,
aren't you?
Yeah.
Because I've only met you for the first time the last couple of days. And it's only now when we got the tape running, we're finding out the true character behind you, the angelically faced pin-up person for the Masters of Wine, a model student. And you're a caner. You're out caning it, and you're devil-may-care winemaking.
Yeah, a bit reckless. I have to say, after the fall into the manhole, I did become significantly more cautious in general. So I ended up back in Hong Kong recovering, ended up staying there just because at that point, that was 2010, so it was 2 years after they'd suspended wine duty. So everybody was talking about wine.
So wine was just pouring into the country from foreign shores?
Absolutely. And meanwhile, New York was still just kind of stagnant and sad. And became less and less appealing to go back. So I stayed. Initially was trying to work with a couple of different Italian wine importers since that was my background. But as so often happens with these small businesses, there was just chaos. Just I started working for somebody and moments later he left the company and tried to poach me away. And it was just all a bit mad. So I kind of as a part-time job started working with Deborah Myberg, also Master of Wine based in Hong Kong, one of three women who passed at the same time in 2008.
Wine Media or something, isn't it? Her company?
Myberg Wine Media.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So started there, initially just sort of part-time, but gradually, I think it was a trip to Vinexpo and Deborah convinced me that I should work for her full-time. It was great.
So she's importing wine, isn't she, as well as,
nope.
What's she doing?
No, so definitely not importing wine. She was quite adamant about a couple of things. She would not sell wine, was not planning on working with individual brands, although now she is, just because her organization is much larger. Now it's really much more of an events company, what they do, as well as education. They have a school. But at the time, we were doing all kinds of different things.
So you got good experience.
Yeah, no, fantastic experience. Two things that sort of stick out. One was writing research about different Chinese wine markets, mainly. So we started with Hong Kong, but then we did each of the cities, Shanghai, Beijing. Later we did Singapore, which obviously not part of China, and Taiwan.
So this information is useful for exporters, is that right?
Yeah, useful for wineries trying to get into the markets.
Yeah, so like Italian wineries, French wineries, whatever wineries.
Precisely, okay. So that was really interesting. And then the other piece that was quite cool was we developed an education program for a big duty-free retailer. I think I can say who it is, DFS. And it was supposed to be implemented for their sort of 8,000 staff, including the people who work the cash register, so everybody. I don't really know. I didn't follow up to see to what extent it ended up being used. They've had a lot of changes since then.
Was that where you got the wine education bug, though, the idea of...
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Course development. I really liked the idea of... We had a couple of different tiers that we developed. We had the basic, which was for people who don't even have the remotest concept of what wine is.
Yeah, red or white. Is it red or is it white? Okay.
Precisely. That's sort of the first step.
So you catch them at the base of the kind of bottom feeders, if you like, and give them... But give them the confidence, because it is very complicated wine. And then you've got a sort of higher tier where you're dealing with people that already have a really good knowledge about wine, but you're just refining that to make their businesses more effective. And
absolutely. And the thing that we were trying to bring to it that I think makes it unique from WSET was that it was really sales-focused. So it was about how do how do you convince people that they want to buy this wine, not that wine? How do you get people to trade up? These kinds of things. Using talking to them, getting their own experience of what their customer interactions were like presently was just really, really great insight. So I enjoyed that a lot.
Okay, next.
So I left Deborah basically because I was partway through the Master of Wine program. And at that point,
Did you find it tough, or was it just a breeze for you?
No, so most people find it tough. I mean, I think there are a couple of people for whom it's just... No, it was definitely something I wanted to and had to work at. But I also knew that I wanted to pass it quickly. I didn't want to spend 10 years taking it, breaks.
You can really get your head down and just beaver away and just assimilate the information.
Yeah, yeah.
And churn it out and then forget it.
Hopefully not forgotten too much, but absolutely, some of it is certainly gone into the ether. So I was in my second year, and I knew that in order to get through the theory, I needed to effectively develop my own textbook, because they give you a syllabus, and it's sort of like...
Half a page or something.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like vine genetics, soil. It's not a lot of meat there. And so I created my textbook, went out and collected all the examples that you need to have, and they need to be current. So you don't want to use other people's examples. So this is an immense collection process. I probably went overboard, to be honest. I had just way, way, way too many examples.
What was your chapter like on shoe sizes of female winemakers on the 34th meridian?
Minimal.
Yeah.
Minimal.
Yeah. I had trouble finding data on that as well, actually. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought
no,
I was the only
no
one.
No great current examples.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
We can work on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got through that. You did your own. So basically, you wrote your own kind of course, basically. So wine education for you is also a big thing, isn't it? Both
Absolutely.
Receiving it and giving it.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. And I think it is some of that rigor and structure from creating my own textbook, as it were, that has...
When you get on a plane,
yeah.
do you like write your own book on, if I need to fly this thing,
You joke, I did learn to fly.
I didn't know that. I promise you I didn't. I have a team of researchers here at the Italian Wine Podcast, 8 people full time.
I did, and there was an unfortunate incident where I realized... partway through my first flight that I had had a drink fairly recently.
On your own?
No, fortunately, my teaching pilot, my instructor.
He was passing you the whiskey, right?
Yeah, no, we didn't do it while we were actually in the air, but that sounds worse than I meant it to.
No, I know, we let it
out. We'll edit that one out.
I guess room space would have been a slight issue as well as navigation.
But it led to this discovery that there actually are very, very large loopholes in terms of, like, I was not... asked for any ID, I could have been a terrorist.
What, as if flying a plane?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you weren't.
Yeah. No, yeah. Incidentally. Yeah. But yeah, so I kind of wrote this expose, because the whole thing was for a class, and he knew that.
Okay.
I didn't name him or shame him or anything, so he was fine with it.
Okay. So
anyway, total aside.
That's all right. That's all good stuff. Mm. So obviously multi-talented. So, I mean, education. So what is your day-to-day job now? How would you describe it? I know you'd have several strings to your bow, but what would you call it?
It's not very consistent. The one thing that is kind of keeping me busy day to day, other than being a parent, is this new thing with the visual tasting notes that I'm doing.
Right, just give us a bit of feedback on that, or a bit of the skinny on that one.
Background on what that is. So it's not a totally novel idea by any stretch of the imagination. There have been illustrated tasting notes by various people for a while. But the thing that was always sort of dissatisfying to me about wine tasting notes, written ones and otherwise, is that they're just very literal. Especially, I'd seen a lot of images of, like, bottles surrounded by plums and flowers and things like this, and it sort of gave the impression that if you took all of those things and put them in a blender, you would get the wine, and that's just very much not the case. So what I was trying to do was create something that's more evocative, sort of impressionistic, that talks about wine as an experience over time. So they are static at the moment, but I'm probably going to animate them. They're these digital images, collages of mainly photographs now, but it used to be more things that I'd painted by hand and then photographed. And it's sort of, they're meant to be read from top to bottom. So there's a shape and a sort of outline that gives an impression of the general body and structure of the wine, right? Does it start out kind of meek and then become really robust in your mouth? Or what kind of path does it follow? And then if a wine is giving me really specific aroma references, so like raspberries, if that's immediately what comes to mind, I will have literal images of raspberries. But if it's more just a sort of general sense of bright red fruit, I'll have bread bowls or something that kind of evokes that sense without being quite so literal. So that's what
bread
I'm doing.
Red bulls or red bulls?
Red bulls.
So red bulls or
yeah,
red bulls?
Definitely not the caffeinated beverage.
Okay.
I have not to date. Yes.
Okay.
Bowls that
balls
are red.
Red.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Round cylindrical things that are colored.
Yeah. Spherical. But yes.
A spherical.
Yes.
Oh, okay. What happens if you've got a wine that's say tannic? Do you little oblongs?
Well, so generally the texture of the wine, if it's heavily tannic, comes out in the thickness of the line. So if it's a wine where the tannin sort of builds over time, the line will be thin initially and grow thicker as you get to the bottom of the image.
So when your second child is born, mm-hmm. have you already written a little book about the kind of food he or she will eat? Okay, obviously not just your milk, but I mean, it's like,
right.
Okay, today is you're going to have mumps and my mum's milk. It's going to be a little white dot, and it's going to get a bit bigger because it's going to be creamy, and then it's going to get a little bit narrow when it runs out. Is that what's going to happen? Your poor kid will be looking like,
Good God, who is this woman? Yeah. Can I go back inside? I haven't yet applied this visual tasting note concept to other products.
Because you could get like from not just the youngest master wine, like the kind of embryo and so trained from birth to be able to shape and describe the shapes and the textures and the flavors of whatever it is they are smelling and consuming.
I think there's
a big market for that.
Clearly an idea in there somewhere. My first son is very interested in wine, I have to say.
I kind of get the feeling he doesn't have a lot of choice.
No, I mean, I'm definitely not trying to push it on him. In fact, if anything, the opposite. But the guy will just, like, scurry up to me, grab my wine glass, and kind of try to bury his face in it. I mean,
he's a man.
He's a man. No, it's special stuff, wine. What can you do?
So you're quite an entertaining lady because you're always smiling, even though you're a bit of a nerd and a sort of a geek.
Right.
But I mean, you have got that devil may care, you know, just throwing yourself off a tank and just deciding to break various important parts of your body.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was absolutely a decision that I made to step back.
You managed to pass off as some kind of horrible accident.
Yeah.
So you got the sympathy vote as well as the curiosity vote.
Yeah. Well, it was actually all just an effort to get the corset that I ended up having to wear.
Right.
Which, to be fair, was spectacular.
Now we're going to talk about lingerie. So it was a really segueing here from baby grows to...
This thing, I do think every once in a while about digging it out. In France, they make very cool, like, plastic corsets if you break your back, because you've broken your back.
I have, yeah.
So you didn't have to wear one of these things.
I did add one made of material, yeah.
Oh.
Not a plastic one.
You missed out.
Well, I'll go and break my back again.
Yeah, I mean...
see what happens.
No, this thing was very cool. It was plastic, and then it had black and white photographs of the skyline of New York on it. And women in Hong Kong would approach me all the time, like, where did you get it? Is that McQueen? Is that... Yeah.
Did you have to break your back first before I can...
From time to time, until I got sick of it. And then I was just like, just sawed off. You know.
Okay, so on to Italian wine.
Yes.
I'm not going to ask you for your favourites, but I'm not actually going to ask you. I'm going to ask you for your favourites. So I give you Desert Island. I'm going to say three wines. One white, one red, and one of your choice could be a fizzy wine, a pasito wine or whatever. What are you going to take with
you? Verdicchio, probably Metallica rather than Yeezy.
Mm-hmm. Why Metallica rather than... So Verdicchio, white wine from the Marche from the Adriatic coast.
Yes.
Made with a Verdicchio grape.
Metallica is just a bit more extreme.
Because it's a bit further inland and a bit cooler and a bit higher.
Yes, cooler, higher, all of those things. And it's just, more acidic, more sharp, all of the things that sort of align with my
good choice.
So
that's probably one of Italy's, if not the greatest white wine.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right,
absolutely.
Next. So you're not like going for the elitist stuff, are you?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
No, I think it's a great... you know what? If you asked me, that would be my choice as a white wine.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
This was not scripted, by the way.
Okay.
So you're red?
Red, okay. If I had to drink it every day, I'm on this desert island.
Yeah, you're going to have to, I'm afraid, yeah.
Okay, so then it would normally be Barolo, but I just have to sit around waiting for ages. So I think, maybe in that case, maybe Gimme? I don't know.
Gimme?
Yeah.
That's quite left field.
Sort of.
Yeah?
You know, yeah, still Nebbiolo.
Yeah, but, I mean, okay. Yeah. I mean, not a bit kind of tough?
No, I don't think so. I enjoy it. I enjoy it young and old. It's the kind of thing that, yeah.
Okay, and
works both.
And your fun wine, fizz or sweet wine?
Oh, Franciacorta.
Traditional methods.
Yeah, I know. Kind of.
What about like a Lambrusco? A little bit of...
So, I mean, there are definitely Lambruscos that I like. I just don't know about every day on this desert island. I just want something a little bit more refreshing.
You need a refrigerator as well, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about, I'll let you have a pasito as well. What do you take as a dessert wine?
I'm going to get killed, but I just don't love sweet wine, particularly. My one exception.
How did you get in the MW exam? They must have shoved a couple of, you know, sweet wines in there.
Oh, absolutely, but...
Did you just stick your hand out? I'm not tasting that.
Well, no, it makes it simpler because you only take a few sips and then you're less likely to second-guess yourself.
Oh, well, what about an amabile, a medium... dry, medium,
yeah.
Sweet wine.
Well, I want to admit, my exception to the sweet wine is Tokaj, which I absolutely adore. Sweet.
From Hungary.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Not from Italy, sorry. Okay. Pasito di Pantelleria. That works.
Huge production. Okay.
Well, you know.
That's a sweet,
give them all,
sweet
give
Moscato
me all the
from the island of Pantelleria. Hmm. But you could end up there.
Yes, this is true.
Desert island, not
this is true. Yeah. And there would be no transport costs. It would be great.
Yeah, ever the supply chain management. Kind of, yes. Do you do that like the fridge? You know, like in the house. You know, like inventory. So a little bit low on milk. The cream is going to go out of date in 2 days.
No, I'm nowhere near that organized. I'm afraid.
I kind of really don't believe that.
Oh, no. You'd have to see the state of my fridge.
It's a long way to go, though. It's in Hong Kong, isn't it?
Indeed.
Yeah, it's quite a long way to go just to check on the cream.
Yeah, to check on somebody's fridge.
The cream level, yeah. A bit excessive.
Mm.
Yeah, global warming probably not going
to
give me a medal for environmental responsibility. Anyway, so we've segued. So Sarah, hello. I don't know how to close this one up. You know, master of wine, bone breaker.
Mm. All of those things.
Artist.
My own bones, to
artist,
be fair, not anybody else's, yeah.
Mum.
Yep.
Communicator, educator.
Yeah.
University student, letting her hair down quite a lot by all accounts.
From time to time.
But now very responsible.
Oh, yes.
Middle-aged. Completely. Early middle-aged.
Middle-aged. Oof.
How old are you? That's a terrible question.
30.
Oh, you do grow, not like Peter Pan. You don't just stay like 7 when you pass the master of wine festival.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Did they like have a special like swings and stuff and slides for when you were studying that you could go out?
Yeah, you know.
A little crash kind of thing just for you.
Yeah, I know where I could take naps and everything.
And
very accommodating.
And when you have like lunch, they pat your back so it digests everything.
So you don't get ill.
Yeah.
Actually, would have been helpful.
Did they serve the wine like on the? Normally they pour it into an ISO glass, but they just give you like a little bottle that you could.
No, that's horrible.
Are you pleased you're no longer the youngest master of wine?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
To be honest, it's nice to be able to talk about other things.
Yeah, which I haven't been doing for the last 25 minutes. So. Anyway, Sarah, thank you very much indeed for coming in today. Super interview.
Thank you, Mondi.
And, you know, for a Greek, you're actually a really good company.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, and that was a horrible comment, wasn't it? No, you are. I mean, you're a nice geek, though.
Well,
you are.
You
know, you're great fun. You're always smiling.
Oh, wow.
And you're a fantastic speaker as well. You know, you don't waste
a
word. You really are a very good speaker. So the MW's, I think, very, very lucky to have you. And I'm sure you will inspire not just students of wine in general, but students of wine in Italy, because you're a great communicator. And you always have a smile on your face, which is very important.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Lovely to meet you.
Thanks.
This podcast has been brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey, discovering the true essence of high-quality wine from Europe. Find out more on nativegrapeodyssey.eu. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.